And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, all right, folks. I'm going to attempt something slightly different. I've taught on this topic in the past only one time. And I haven't dove back into it for a long time because it was lousy. I'm just telling you. So over 15 years later, I'm going to give it another shot. You're thinking, why? Nah, you got to try. You can't just quit. You got to try. So we're going to discuss a process we undergo, which is heavily based on Scripture. Now, ultimately, I'm going to outline four elements that can cause problems for us if they are left unattended. But next, understanding that sin separates people from God also leads us to the truth that through the redemption of Jesus Christ, those sins are forgiven. We are eternally safe in God's hands. But life happens to us and we react to those events. In those elements in our lives, if they are left unchecked, or let me rephrase that, unchristianized, they couple with other elements in our lives and eventually produce something that is in us that is less than Christ-like, and that's not good. So we're about to break one of my cardinal rules about being cautious with formulas, because this presentation is very formula-oriented. So you can either forgive me or forgive me. Those are your two choices that God gives you. We're going to discuss how four elements, anger, resentment, rejection, and godlessness, how they can rise up in our spiritual journey. I warn you now, this will be very challenging. So let's get started.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. So much. Just remember, it's not professional radio. That'll help me out a lot if you just remember that. It's just radio. But we are asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us during the show anytime live, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can call us. What? A telephone? You can call? What? 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, that's like thinking about a brother or a sister in the Lord. You count it on their mind, you're thinking about them, and then they reach out to you. That same brother or sister. Isn't that cool? That's cool. That's just a cool thing, man. So talking to you, that's what it's like. Say, like, hey, that's cool. I love that. That's like totally hip.
Thank you, David. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. We are going to be doing Jake's Take in a little bit, and that
yes,
will be
are.
A positive Jake's Take, that's for sure. So we'll get to that in a minute. I want to make sure you understand what's going on. Here's our goal. He's like, okay, what are you trying to do? I don't know.
I'm trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. What is it that it said? The best answer is I'm going into the kingdom piece by piece as God is dragging me in as I'm screaming and kicking.
Anyhow, the reality is if you have something that you want to share, if you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, we want you to have that opportunity to do that, because this is a group of multiple different denominations, different groups. For those that don't know, I was born and raised Jewish, went to a private Hebrew school, then was a purveyor of recreational pharmaceuticals. I'll let you figure that out on your own. Then I had a radical salvation. And then afterwards, I went on and jumped into ministry. In fact, just the other day was my 45th anniversary of being a Christian, or my 45th birthday, so to speak, and went forward and got a Bachelor of Arts degree in Ministry and Leadership, a Master's degree in Theological Studies, as well as a Doctorate degree in Strategic Christian Strategy. All of that with a couple of different ordinations from different denominations, both Baptist and Pentecostal, as well as Charismatic. All of that to say, I am no different than anybody else. I'm just trying to get one step closer to the Lord. That's it. I wake up every day, same mindset. Lord, I love you. I know I'm doing some things wrong. I'm probably doing some things right. I just want to get closer to you. Because in my heart, and I think many of you recognize this, the greatest thing you can do is draw closer to the Lord. There's just nothing like it. And so in doing that, we're encouraging that. We're encouraging that with one another. We're asking you by Hebrews 10:25 to encourage one another as we see the return of Christ getting closer and closer. We're fellowshipping for the purpose of lifting one another up and strengthening one another. There's lots of yuck. Cool. We understand there's lots of yuck, and there's going to be lots of yuck. In the meantime, there could be a little bit of lift and a little bit of encouragement too. Does that mean we don't teach on sin? No. We teach on sin. There is not much that you're going to hear out of this message that isn't going to be completely loaded with that. Except for that there is where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. So we will talk about that. We also do Bible trivia. And we do Bible trivia because it makes people think about the Bible. Why? Because, first of all, God created the universe so he can write a book. And that's one of our strongest statements. God created the universe. He can write a book. Everybody else can write a book except for God. That's just the weirdest thing. It's like, okay, sure. Here it is in the nutshell. Here's your trivia question. What does the wine served at the Lord's Supper symbolize? Does it symbolize salvation, hope, or the blood of the covenant? What does the wine served at the Lord's Supper symbolize? Does it symbolize salvation, hope, or the blood of the covenant? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. It's totally okay. 972-445-0770. You can do that from San Diego. You can do that from Dallas. You can do that from Ottawa, Canada. You can do that from anywhere. Just that simple. You can also text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. What does the wine served as the Lord's Supper symbolize? Is it salvation, hope, or the blood of the covenant? That is the question. Somebody is calling in. That's always good. We like it when people call in. You know, it's fun. We like to talk to people, get to know our brothers and sisters, make sure we're staying on the same page. We got people that we need them to call in because we'd like to pray for them. We got other people that just call in because they just want to give it a roll. We want them to do that as well. And the one thing that's great about the show is eventually you will get there.
One way or another, you will get to the answer.
Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ken.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
How you doing, David? I love your show. I listen to it every day.
Okay. That makes me happy, and that blesses me. I'm glad you're liking it, man. Glad you're liking it. Now, this is a great question because, in a sense, all of the answers could be combined, but there is one specific. So I'll just give it to you, and I'll let you knock it out of the park. What does the wine served as the Lord's Supper, what does that symbolize? Is it salvation, hope, or the blood of the covenant?
The blood.
That is correct, Mundo! Now, in that covenant is salvation and hope, but it does symbolize specifically the blood of the new covenant. So some people are like, why is there a new covenant? Here's the best answer you can ever give anybody theologically. Ready? Because Jesus said so. That's why.
Yeah.
Excellent job, bro. Excellent, excellent work. And I'm glad you called in. So how you doing, by the way? You doing good?
I'm doing good. I have to listen. I want to meet you one day, David. Man, I don't know if I want to just only shake your hand, bow down, or whatever. Dude, I love your show.
I appreciate that, man. I really, really do. It's a blessing to hear, and it's a blessing when you call in, so thank you for that, as well as any other time we contact. So appreciate you, bro.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right, we're going to go right into our DNA. Now, why I'm going into DNA and why I'm glad everything's going really good, let me just tell you why.
It's because this message is so hard.
I know you guys are thinking, no, you don't understand. I don't, if I've only taught this one time in like my 40 years of ministry, one time it's like 15, 16, 17 years ago, and I thought it didn't go well, I'm not kidding. See, I'm telling you that so that you can gush. We're going to have a lot of mercy on Dave. Yeah, you sure are.
You got it.
We shall see. We shall see.
If not, it'll make it more fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's do, though, our DNA since we're rolling into a D. So DNA, building blocks, how you should exist. We use DNA. Now, Captain Chris told me a long time ago, just to let you know, Jam and Jacob, he told me it's not exactly right, but I think it's close. It's like the building blocks of what we are, DNA. That's what I think of when I think of DNA, right? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. I mean, every day that you breathe, you at least have to say to God, thank you for this gift of breath. I mean, at least. And then go from there. N, that's the D. Here's the N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never be ashamed. People are like, well, is that just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Jesus is called the Word of God. The Word of God is between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21 and everything in between. It's 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. And it's like, well, how do you know that? Because God can write a book. That's how we know it. And so here's the bottom line. Never be ashamed of what he has to say. And again, and I stress this to you as somebody who's been in it with you at every level there is. Even if you don't understand everything, you have to have confidence that Jesus knows what he's saying, right? And then A, so you got the D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus' word. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. And here we go to the OPM. Just like Jimmy Moon reached out to us and said, thank you for OPM is other people matter. It's not that you don't matter. Of course you matter. But if you get so wrapped up in you, you can't see anybody else. One, you know, it's like what you sow, so shall you reap. So you're only going to be self, 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 self. That's a bad idea. If you get wrapped up in other people's lives too, adding other people's lives into your life creates more life. That's just a good idea. There's no argument with that. It's like, that's a good idea. Yeah. And then the other part of this is this what Jesus wants us to do. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. So then when we serve, we look more like him. That, ladies and gentlemen, that is our DNA. Okay? All right. Okay, let's do the intro to this. We got Jake's take. Oh, got to do that. That's super important. So then we'll probably, after Jake's take, we'll take our break. But we do have to do Jake's take. So, Jake, there's a rumor that something good happened yesterday, but I don't know what that is. What was that?
I think it was the Rangers going up 3-1.
3-1?
In the series.
Uh-oh. Unless you're from Arizona, which I lived in Arizona for 18 years, by the way, so it's not like I don't know what's going on there, although I'm totally pulling for Texas. So they're up 3-1. Was it a close game, or was it kind of like, eh?
You know, they were.
I mean, by the end, it was a four-run game, winning 11-7. But for a lot of the game, yeah, it was over. It was 10-0 Rangers in the third inning.
Oh, baby.
So
that's gotta be discouraging for Arizona, going 10-0. It's 10-0. Yep. That's a lot.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, I checked the score. I saw it was 5-0, and then you know, then I got busy and I checked the score again. And I saw 10-0, and I was like, yeah, I think this one's over.
Yeah, that's that's a good sign right there. So when is game five?
So game five is tonight.
Tonight.
Yep. Again in Arizona. And it's 3-1, so if Rangers win tonight, they win the World Series.
Wow.
Their first ever.
And if they don't win, they'll be coming back here. So this is a good – I mean, they're in a good spot.
Right. If they don't win tonight, then the last two games, it'll be in Arlington. So they'll be at home for the last two.
If they just have to win one more. Although they're looking pretty sharp, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think
they get it done tonight.
Is this going to be their first World Series
win?
Yes. Wow.
Yep. They've never won it before. Wow. The franchise started – in the 70s, early 70s, and they've never won it before. So,
wow.
Yeah, big moment tonight for the Rangers.
All right. Good job, by the way, on Jake's take. That was really good information. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to break. We're going to come back. I'll do my best to bring this message to you, and hopefully it'll be a blessing. Hopefully. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, if anybody gets offended at this, I apologize that you have no sense of humor. Okay. Like that? That's a good line. Bam, bam. All right, here's the first one. A pastor was leaving his area and was saying farewell to his congregation at the church door for the last time. He shook the hand of an elderly lady as she walked out. She said, "Your successor won't be as good as you." "Well, nonsense," said the pastor in a flattered tone. "No, really," said the old lady. "I've been here under 5 different ministers, and each new one has been worse than the last." Ouch. Ouch. But this is the one that's going to offend people, which is irony, right? Because that's more offensive than this is. And this is just too. And if you guys get offended at this, I, you know, take a week off the show. It seems there was a minister who had just all of his remaining teeth pulled and new dentures were being made. The first Sunday, he only preached 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he preached 20 minutes. But the third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. When asked about this by some of the congregation, he responded this way. "The first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my dentures were hurting a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures and I couldn't stop talking." Welcome back
to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here is your next trivia question. Who does James refer to as an example of patience in his letter? Who does James refer to as an example of patience in his letter? Is it Abraham, Job, and the prophets, or Peter? Is it Abraham, Job, and the prophets, or Peter? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, that's your opportunities there. It's pretty straightforward. Really, what you're looking for mostly is, I think, James 5:10-ish. So, and you'll understand what the reason is for me asking those questions or how I asked it, because you just got to read it, because in different versions it has a little bit of a different slant. But that's all right. So who does James refer to as an example of patience? Consider the patience of, was it Abraham, Job, or Peter? Job and the prophets, or Peter? That's the question that's before you. If you think you need an answer, reach out to us. In the meantime, we're jumping into the fire. Here we go. This actually has a title to it. Did you know I hardly ever give titles to, like, messages, ever. This is called Don't We / I Know Better. Oh, see, don't you know better?
All interesting.
Right. Yeah, different start right there. First, let's get right to the heart of things so that you don't miss this. In the 6th century Catholic Church, they identified 7 deadly sins. So this is the 6th century Catholic Church. They identified 7 deadly sins. They list them as lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. I want to say right off the bat, it's commendable that they compiled such a list, but it is also fundamentally incorrect. So why is that? Because every sin is deadly and will separate you from God. Sin is anything contrary to God. And there are not 7, there are like 7 million. You understand? And the Lord doesn't, there's no room in this. It's not that it's bad that they have a list, other than they try to identify these are the, you know, majors. It's like, I don't know. But what is absolutely sure is Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the penalty for sin is death. Get it? So what we don't want to do is be operating in sin. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. We are being delivered from the power of sin. We will eventually be delivered from the presence of sin. So we don't want to sit there and go, oh, those are bad. It's like, no, there's a few others that really need to be understood. And one of them is something that happened to me and something I had to fight through, because I don't always walk in the spiritual part of my life. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and I'm telling you, you've got to hang on, because I can't do this any other way. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Okay, so whatever we do, we're supposed to do it with all that we've got. We're supposed to put full effort into it. But I want you to be aware of something. When you put full effort into something, or when you put full effort into someone, and you don't get any recognition, it creates an anger.
What I mean is this. When we do something and we give it our all, it's not just ministry. It's everything and anything we do. Whatever we do, by the way, that's what the Colossians text says. Whatever it is, you do it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Whatever we're doing, we do it as unto the Lord. But we have a tendency to forget that we're doing it unto the Lord. And we pour into others and into things. And then if you don't get a recognition or an acknowledgement, it creates for many people an anger. Here's the problem with that. Here's the sin part of that. Luke 17, 7 through 10. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? Then you may eat or drink. Verse 9. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, Jesus said, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. People, when they pour themselves into something, myself included, you want recognition. Do you want, it's not the attaboys, but you want the affirming part. It's not bad to have somebody affirm you. What's bad is that when we don't get that affirmation for the effort we put in, we become angry. Because we didn't get what we thought somebody might give us or what we thought we should get. So here's the split. Here's where this message gets hard. When you do it unto the Lord, if you're actually doing it unto the Lord, then looking for the human praise is the opposite direction of doing that for the Lord. And what's hard, and you can hear me, I know, you know I'm talking about stuff that happens to me, is you do something with all your heart, and then you're supposed to do it for the Lord, right? And you don't always do it fully for the Lord, and you're waiting for somebody to go, great job, right? But that shows you you're not doing it for the Lord. You're doing it, and you still want the human element. And it creates an anger, a frustration, a disappointment. Somebody just left you there. Like, I put all that into it, and that's all I got? Have you ever felt that way? Don't lie about it. There's no point in lying about it. What happens is, when people have that happen, you know what happens is, they hang on to that. So let me explain something to you. James 1, 19 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. When you've poured yourself into something and you didn't get the props and you hang on to that, it becomes anger that's displeasing to the Lord. That's the truth. That's a hard truth, but it's still true.
Well said.
Yeah. All right, now we're going to answer the triv question. Because we got to answer our trivia question, right? So we didn't have that answer, right? Did I miss it? We didn't. Okay. Just make it sure. See, sometimes I have to be reminded. Who does James refer to as an example of patience? Is that Abraham, Job, / the prophets, or Peter? And the answer is Job, / the prophets. And the reason I said / the prophets is because in one Greek text, it kind of shows that it's the prophets, then Job. And another one is Job, then the prophets. It's like, okay, that's fine. Anyway, it was Job. When we read Job, you think, he wasn't that patient. after chapter 2, it wasn't that great. Okay, but the author's talking about chapters 1 and 2. Okay, get it? Okay. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you were able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question and then the continuation on this very unique, different kind of teaching, but you just got to hang in there and follow along to figure it out. Here is your next trivia question. Who became a mighty hunter before the Lord? Was it David, Samson, or Nimrod? Who became a mighty hunter before the Lord? Was it David, Samson, or Nimrod? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.com. So who became a mighty hunter before the Lord? Was it David, Samson, or Nimrod? Your reference point would be Genesis 10. Oh, I'd be looking at verse 8 and 9 if I were you. Anyhow, you can check that out and reach out to us. We're going to send you up to the website. Don't forget, on the website is a place to give. Don't forget, giving is very helpful if you like this show. If you don't like the show, I wouldn't give. If you like the show, I'd give. No, one way or another, if you give, you're only getting a tax receipt. You're not getting a Ferrari. You're not getting a plane. You're not getting a donut. You're not getting a special coin encased in plexiglass that will make it so that you are never penniless. You're just getting a receipt at the end of the year, and you're investing in the kingdom of God. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
There you go. That's a good one right there.
I was about to start singing.
Jacob, you're doing great, just to let you know, okay?
Thank you.
All right, and be in prayer for him. He's running the station today. What, when, and then tomorrow, and then Friday?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah,
today through the weekend.
Okay.
I won't be here Saturday and Sunday, but
okay,
going until Jennifer gets back Monday.
That's right. Okay. We're hoping that Jennifer has a great. You know what? She's on a vacation. I just told her one thing. I won't tell everybody other than this. I told her, whatever you do, don't go eat French at Jacques and the Box. Okay.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, just leaving that alone. Who became a mighty hunter before the Lord? Was it David? Is it Samson? Is it Nimrod? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. And also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email to David@HeMustIncrease.org. Thus far, this message has been pretty simple. This is the part where it's no longer simple. I love you. Don't forget that. We were just talking about any sin. Just any sin. Just look it. Any sin can separate you from God. Now, don't misunderstand. The sin that separates you from God is what leads us to the redemption of Jesus Christ. So those sins are forgiven, okay? We are eternally safe in God's hands, but we don't want to unchristianize our behavior. We don't want to act like in ways that are contrary to what Jesus wants us to be like. We don't want to reflect things that are contrary to his word. That's sinfulness, and we don't want to be walking in that sin, and that's deadly for multiple reasons. You might not be eternally disconnected, but you are disconnected when you're walking in sin. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you are sensitive in a continual walk with him through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So no, I believed once, just like I believed in Santa Claus once. That doesn't work, okay? It's whoever believeth, the continual action of believing. But I digress or digest, either one. What we've talked about is simply this. You do something, and you do it with all that you can, and maybe you don't get recognition, and it hurts your feelings. And it's a disappointment thing. And that could be time, effort, whatever it is that you've put into something and put into a relationship, into a project. It doesn't matter, into people, into one another, even into yourself. And you don't, there's a frustration that emerges. And that might be even a better word than anything else is you put the effort in, you don't get any recognition, and you get frustrated. Because everybody feels like they need attaboys. But what we're telling you and what Jesus is telling us in Luke 17, 7 through 10 is, look, what you've done, everything that you've done, say, hey, we're unfaithful, unworthy servants. Thanks for letting us do anything. But what happens is people get frustrated. They get angry. They get disappointed. And this is the key in that. That other people have not given you the response or given you the props or given you the whatever. This is the key. Ephesians 4, 25 through 27. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, don't sin. Uh-oh, so that means you can be angry and sin, or you can have anger and not sin. Here's the rest of the verse. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. How do you give the devil a foothold? By letting the sun go down while you're still angry. What does that mean? It means you stay angry. That's what it means. That person, after you put in that effort, and I know I could be talking about something that happened in your life 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 30 minutes ago. I don't care. That anger that we hang on to because we didn't get the recognition from that effort, that gives the devil a foothold in our lives. Do you want to give Satan an opening? Do you recognize, just like I need to recognize, that's the dumbest thing I could ever do is give the enemy an open shot at me? I mean, it's enough to go through the spiritual warfare as it is. but giving him an open or an opportunity? What's the problem with that, Dave? It's the problem is you can have an anger, but if you stew in it, if you stay in it, if you live in it, if the sun goes down upon that anger and you keep holding on to it, it gives Satan an opening in your life, and you can't have that. But the real intense thing comes from Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. When you put in your effort and you don't get the recognition and you become frustrated or angry or disappointed and you hang on to that frustration, that anger, and that disappointment and you let it sit there, you give the enemy a foothold into your life and it turns into bitterness. And bitterness is a cancer in the spirit. When you hang on to that disappointment, that anger, that frustration, you keep it alive. Not only do you enable Satan to have access to you and attack you and honestly take advantage of you and create more and more doubt, you also allow a root of bitterness. Listen to that, man. A root of bitterness. You know what the problem is with roots of bitterness? You can't just pluck it off at the top. You got to get all of it. You got to get every bit of the root, or it's just going to keep coming back. So anger from a lack of recognition and too much time without dealing with it becomes a resentment or a bitterness. Oh, man. How true is it? Just think about in your life how true that is. Boy, that happened to me back on prom. I still hate that woman. It's just like, you see how ridiculous? Do you see? And listen, the other person's, they're completely void. This is all you. There's nobody else involved in this. And Satan knows it, and he's just dropping it on you. I can't believe they did that to you 25 years ago. For some people, I can't believe they did that to you 55 years ago. It's 55 years ago. Might be time to go. Moving on now.
Yep, got to let it go.
Yeah, just, I mean, some things you cannot do that to. And it's like we hang out, and it becomes a root of bitterness. And Satan's sitting there going, there's demons. Got an opening, and they're becoming bitter. And that bitterness has grown over 20 years. Oh, that's bad. Effort and a lack of recognition should not lead to anger if you're doing it for the Lord. But if there's anger there, that unchecked against too much time becomes bitterness. Wow. That's just, I don't want that. Why? Because I don't want to give Satan an opening. Why? Because he's already beating me up in other areas. I don't need to give him more. He's already not the greatest in my mind. Okay? Next one. All right. So we'll answer the trivia question. Actually, I'll probably bring that up. All right. So. We're gonna answer the trivia question, then I'm going to remind you about something, and then we'll take our break. Here it is. Who became a mighty hunter before the Lord? Was it David, Samson, or Nimrod? And the answer is Nimrod, which tells you how the world takes a word and changes it because the world is worldly and they pervert words. Thank you. I also want to remind everybody, if you have a desire to check out SMU football, you got to reach out to us. Because we got tickets that we're giving away. All you got to do is know the name of this show. That seems pretty easy. I don't know. Am I wrong? Does that seem easy?
No, not too hard.
Okay.
Yeah, it's for SMU North Texas Friday night, the November 10th.
November 10th.
At 8 p.m.
At 8 p.m. All you got to do is remember the name of the show, The David Spoon Experience. So if you can do that, that's great. You can either call us, text us, or email us. Just letting you know that. We're going to take our break and then come back. And yes, there's more. But I still love you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Just as I am.
David Spoon Experience.
In 1 Samuel 5 and 6, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the movie, actually at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 5, that's where the movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's where they got the whole premise. 70 men... When the ark came back, actually that's in 6, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 6, they looked into the ark, which God deemed disrespectful and real life, and 70 people died because they looked into the ark on the spot. That's real stuff. That's not fake. But the idea, it didn't probably happen the way that they showed it in the movies, but okay. At least they tried to portray it, and at least they were accurate about what took place. But I think the important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place. Solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white. And for all of the people that say, no, that can't be, you are way, way wrong. Church history has repeated itself several times. It's the exact same thing. Keep in mind, the church has been around a little longer than America. Oh, tell that to some Christians, they want to shoot you. It's weird. Anyway, as the kicker to that is the five rats. I think that's the funniest part of all, that they actually had to make five golden rats representing the five political leaders. A divine humor saying sometimes political leaders can be like rats. That's kind of what that's saying. And it's human proclaimed, but is it Jesus approved? That's the question. Ha! Anyway, we've had a phenomenal show. I'd say phenomenal. Would you call it phenomenal? I call it phenomenal. I don't even know what phenomenal.
Super phenomenal.
Super phenomenal. We've had a super phenomenal show. And I just want to say that we really appreciate all of our guests. We have a terrific. I mean, we have something. I got something for tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. It's called the nagging theory. You ever heard that? It's called the nagging theory. For all of those young Jewish boys out there who have grown up in that same kind of process, you will understand. It's the nagging theory. We're going to talk about that. And then a few more things about, a few more things we're going to give away. Something interesting happened in Alabama Supreme Court. A lot of good political stuff that we've talked about, but mostly Kingdom of God stuff, because, you know, everything else compared to advancing the kingdom of God, everything else is just interesting.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question. What is the sword used by the Holy Spirit? Is it the law, the word of God, or the gospel? What is the sword used by the Holy Spirit as referenced in the armor of God? What is the sword? Is the sword the law, the word of God, or the gospel? Which of those is it? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, whether you're in San Diego or Dallas, either way. You can also text 214-210-8483, whether you're in San Diego or Dallas, either way. You can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org, whether you're in San Diego or Dallas, either way. Get the impression there? Here's the question. What is the sword used by the Spirit? What is that? Is it the law, the word of God, or is it the gospel? That is your question. 972-445-0770 is the call. 214-210-8483 is the text. david@hemustincrease.org is the email. Here comes the tough. I know people are thinking, wait. Let me say, wait.
Wait.
Okay. And you'll see where this leads. The problem is, I know this lesson that I'm sharing with you. I've lived this lesson. I am living this lesson. I have come through many points on this lesson. I am still coming through many points on this lesson. How's that? Is that a nice way to say it? I'm right there with you. But in the meantime, somebody is ready to answer the trivia question, so let's give them that chance. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Angie.
Angie?
Yes.
How are you, Angie?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Now, what city are you calling from?
I am calling from Venus, Texas.
Oh, there you go. All right.
That's where I live.
That's really? There you go. Wow. See, that's where Jacob lives. That's pretty good. All right, here you go. This is a classic question. I just have a lot of confidence in you. Just a ton. You're going to get this right. Here we go. I'll set it up, and then you can hit it out of the park. What is the sword used by the Holy Spirit? Is it the law, the word of God, or the gospel?
The word of God.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right. That is. It is the word of God. It is all of the word of God. Everything that we need. It includes the gospel. It includes love. But it includes everything else from in the beginning to the final amen in Revelation 22:21. Excellent job. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You did phenomenal. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. You have a fantastic rest of the afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Excellent job. Thank you very much. And from your hometown, there you go. That's
yep.
Pretty good. All right. Okay, now, listen. This is all set up for this one thing. All right, I'll just do a quick recap, okay? Seven deadly sins. That's cute, but that's not accurate, okay? It's fine that they made a list. It's just that there's more than seven deadly sins. I count about 7 million, okay? Just to let you know, okay? The result of sin is death, okay? Ah. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that we've been freed from sin, we don't want to walk in sin. That's just silly. So we're talking about things that kind of create that or things that can kind of stick in us. And I know it's not the norm message, but you got to put up with that for just a little while. When we put our hearts and efforts into something and there's no recognition, sometimes that can create in us a disappointment, an anger, or a frustration. If that frustration, that anger, that disappointment is unchecked and too much time passes, it becomes a bitterness or a resentment. And that's a problem because, one, we're giving Satan an opportunity, an opening, so to speak. The scripture is quite clear when it says, do not give the devil a foothold. When it says, do not let the sun go down while you're angry. To stay angry is not a great idea. Now, is there a righteous anger? Roger, you want to know? Yes, there is a righteous anger. We're not talking about that. And it's not even necessarily unrighteous that you may have felt somewhat shorted on something. It's entirely different to hang on to that. Because if you hang on to that, it festers and it becomes bitterness. And bitterness has roots. And roots, by the way, in case you didn't know it, those go deep. So what's the ticket in that? I'm going to tell you the ticket. When you put your effort into it and you don't get the recognition you thought you deserved, which, by the way, you're entitled to none as a child of the Most High God, except for what God recognizes. But when you put yourself into it, it doesn't happen, and you get hurt or angry, and you let that anger or that hurt sit, and too much time passes, and you give the enemy an opening because too much time passes, and it becomes bitterness or resentment, and you don't forgive. You do all that, and you don't forgive the people that hurt you. Then we're not being like Jesus. That's the bottom line. When we do something, it's not recognized, frustrated about it, too much time passes, becomes a resentment or a bitterness, and we still keep it and we don't forgive the person, we're not reflecting Jesus Christ. You and I have been given the righteousness of Christ from a judicial point of view. And everything God is working in you right now is for you to reflect Jesus Christ. And no forgiveness for people that have hurt us. That's not going to work. In fact, Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive people their sins, then your Father won't forgive you." Is that from an eternal point of view? Not really, but that's not the point. The point that's being made by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is straightforward. You have to give that which God has given you. He gave you forgiveness. If he took you to task, or me to task, on my lack of recognition for his effort, he stayed angry at me, and then over time became bitter against me and never forgave me, I would not exist. Get that? So what I'm trying to give you is, I understand the process, I understand going through it, but where you want to get to, where I'm trying to push you to, where I'm trying to get you, to, trying to encourage you in, because I've used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 scriptures, I'm trying to get you to, you have to forgive. And don't tell me, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. That's not forgiveness. In fact, love says love keeps no record of wrongs. So you can't pull that stuff. That doesn't work. Doesn't mean you be a dummy again, but it does mean you don't sit there and exist in it. Let it go. What did Paul say? This one thing I do, pressing forward to the things which are before me and forgetting those things which are behind. Time to move forward. You know what you can do about yesterday? Ready? Nothing. You know what you can do about today and tomorrow? Everything. Do not operate in a lack of forgiveness, because that's the moment that you turn away from being like Jesus. And then you just drop this, and this is the one that nobody can get away from. Me too. Don't get weird on me. Didn't Jesus forgive me of all of my millions and millions of sins? How can we not forgive others? If you forgive, you'll lose the bitterness. If you lose the bitterness, you've dropped the power of the anger and you've closed the open door for Satan. If people didn't give you the recognition or anybody didn't acknowledge it, here's the thing to never forget. God has everything you have ever done and said recorded. He will not fail to give you the props that you're heading into for eternity. How cool is that? I'll take that one. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.